from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
I think it's biggest reason was my coach Olli Jokinen. He said before every game that you need the defense first, and then you got the puck and you can do whatever you want. That was the, I think, biggest reason. It was hard for me because I like to do a lot of things with the puck and attack and everything. It was hard for me, but it was good for me too.
That is Konsta Helenis, center for the Sabres, 14th overall pick. On Friday, we'll talk all about their draft class here with Chris Peters. Helenis, by the way, said that's how his name is pronounced. We had been saying Helenius. Some of these guys, though, I mean, he said Helenis, so I would trust him on that. Some of these guys, though, won't change for, like, when did we find out, like, Henrik Tallinder's name wasn't Tallinder?
Yeah, but
it was,
changed,
like, year five.
It changed multiple times, though, I feel like.
That's what I mean.
I think it went from Tallinder to Tallinder. And
it was Andre Sequeira here, and then, like, 3 years later on a different team, it was Sequeira. So do I call him, like, when he was here the whole time, it was Sequeira, but now do I call him Sequeira, even though here he was never Sequeira?
It could be Buffalo Sabre Andre Sequeira, Dallas Star Andre Sequeira. How about that?
It's tough.
Because
that makes sense.
That's where he went, and that's where he started being called Sequeira. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's the only way I can make sense of it.
Chris Peters was probably already on this. Did you know it was Helenis before Friday, Chris?
No idea.
No
Not
idea.
At all.
Yeah. A lot. Yeah. Right. We find out when these kids show up and talk, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've talked to him before too, and
yeah.
No idea.
Yeah. So Chris Peters, Flow Hockey on the Western Hotline. We talked with Chris last week, previewing the draft. We'll recap it a little bit here, which we can really key in on some of the Sabre picks, especially in the first round. Did you go to the draft, by the way, Chris?
I was there, yep.
Mm-hmm. How are your experience from the Sphere? It looked insane on TV. I can't imagine what it was like in person.
Yeah, you know, it was interesting. The media was kind of down, way down on the floor, and it's my understanding that it looks a little cooler from the seats because you kind of get a little more of a mm-hmm. an all-encompassing view of it. But I was only down there for a little bit because the internet wasn't doing me any favors on the floor, so I had to go up into the media room. So I was able to see it. I was able to see the beginning of the draft, the first few picks. I mean, it is stunning, and the building itself is absolutely top of the class in everything. I mean, no matter just every element of it, you know, no expense spared. It was just an incredible experience to be there at all.
So before we get to the Sabres, no surprise at all, Celebrini, who we talked about with you, goes number one overall. Was the league, what was the league story of the draft? Like, we didn't get any trades, and we wanted one here, and I think some of the solace in there not being one is that there was no, oh, I wish the Sabres traded for that guy who got dealt, because we didn't see that. Was what Anaheim did at number three, like, was it just the most stunning thing, or was it even maybe the story of Friday night?
You know, I don't think anybody really knew what Anaheim was going to do for sure. There was a lot of guessing going on with them, and so Seneca's name had been kind of rumored with them for a while in terms of, you know, if they wanted to go, because of their prospect system being so deep, they could take some swings. And so I don't think that was necessarily the biggest shock. To me, the biggest surprise was how far Zeke Bouyam fell, going all the way down to 12th, and Minnesota and Philly deciding to trade that pick to Minnesota to move down one spot, which was just kind of an odd thing where it's like, why did that happen? Because mm-hmm. I think Zeke Bouyam is a guy that has potential to be in the Makar Hughes range, just because his track record is that, you know, he actually outproduced those players in college and as a freshman, and, you know, has this dynamic skill set and grew to 6 feet over the last year. And, you know, why was he the last of the six defensemen taken? I don't think anybody really saw that coming.
At Chris M. Peters, by the way, if you want to follow Chris on Twitter. Yeah, it felt like the Flyers were on the clock for like an hour during all of that. The clock ran out. They were trading down, but they ended up trading that pick, and Zeev Bouyam goes to Minnesota. So then the Sabres up a couple picks later after that. Konsta Helenis, who I don't remember if he came up, maybe he did in passing with you last week, but what did you make of the pick? Felt like that was about the range, but what are your overall thoughts on the player the Sabres got?
Yeah, you know, I think he's one of those guys that was in that tier of player. The Flyers ended up taking Jet Luchenko, and I was pretty convinced that Philadelphia was going to take a center, and I thought it was going to be Helenis, and the fact that it wasn't was a bit surprising to me. And so I did have those two players in kind of different tiers, even though I'm a big Jet Luchenko fan. I had Helenis well ahead of him. And I think that the reason for that is that we saw Konsta have a tremendous year in Finland, where he had the fourth most productive season by a U18 player in Liga history. And that says a lot. You know, I mean, though it's really difficult to play pro hockey as a teenager, no matter where it's at. And certainly in Finland, it can be really challenging to produce, and he did that this year. He wasn't as great internationally, which was kind of surprising, I think. You know, that he didn't make as big of an impact at the World Juniors, but he was on the World Juniors as an underager, made the senior national team, didn't play a huge role for there. And then at the Under-18 World Championship, I don't know that he had his best showing. But at the same time, he is a tremendously gifted two-way center, where he's got – you know, he takes care of the puck, or takes care of his own end, but he also has the skill. I think he's got incredible hockey sense. He's not a tall player, but he's sturdy. He's, you know, he's a pretty thick player, so he's hard to knock off the puck, and he plays hard. So, you know, you're getting a very well-rounded center, and I think you're also getting a player that is on a shorter NHL timeline, because he is, you know, because of the fact that he's played pro hockey, you know, I think he's getting pretty close to being NHL ready. And you know, I think long-term, the projection for him is probably, you know, number two center. You know, but I think that there is that kind of off chance that maybe, you know, if everything goes right, he could kind of slide in and maybe even challenge to be a top center at some point. So I think by trading down, the Sabres still got a lot of value with their pick, and also were able to get some assets out of that.
Yeah, I had seen some of the numbers guys really liked his profile, maybe just because of the 36 points in 51 games in a men's league.
Yep.
And then point per game in the playoffs too, I think.
Yes.
So you mentioned that maybe he's not on a very long timeline. It might be hard to not think of Zach Benson last year, knowing though that that's so rare for someone drafted right basically the same pick, 13-14, that quick. So what do you think? Maybe a year? And is there an obvious weakness with his game where, like, oh, that's got to improve? Or is it more just filling out and becoming, you know, getting bigger than 180 pounds?
Yeah, you know, I think as he gets, you know, as he fills out more, you know, the fact that he's kind of got this wide frame to him, and, you know, is really hard to knock off the puck, and can also displace players from the puck pretty well. I think that, you know, he's just basically, it's just getting more experience at this point. You know, he could challenge, maybe. You know, I just think that it'll probably be harder to find a role. And I think with where the Sabres are right now, I don't think you want too many young players. Obviously, I think there's a push to be much more competitive here in this kind of, you know, mm-hmm. this year. So I would anticipate that he'll probably, you know, go back to Finland for one more year and then maybe challenge for more seriously challenge for a spot the following season.
I know comparisons are dangerous, but there's anyone who his game reminds you of that's in the NHL?
Yeah, you know, I think we saw a vast improvement from Marco Rossi from Minnesota Wild last year, and he's a guy that plays that kind of similar aggressive style. He's not a big guy, but he's able to get under the puck and he'll get under other players to make sure that he can displace them. Then he's also got that skill and, you know, the hockey sense too. So I think, you know, in terms of size and ability, they're very similar. I think that, you know, Hellenius could probably be a little bit more of, you know, a little bit better on the two-way side. Maybe mm-hmm. gives away a little bit offensively, but is similar in the hockey sense and vision and playmaking ability. So, you know, I think there's just a lot to like about him and his trajectory. So plenty to come from him.
Chris Peters from Flow Hockey on the West Hur Hotline. So then in round two, Adam Kleber, we'll figure it out, I'm sure, once...
Kleber,
thank you. Big defenseman. Did you like that pick? It's definitely, you know, you don't always want draft for need. They don't have right shot defensemen in their organization. They also don't have a lot of size on the... Well, I guess on the team right now they do. It's just the physicality they're lacking. So right. He might feel like he fits a need, but is that a player that you thought was worth the pick and you can see becoming an NHL player?
Yeah, I actually had him ranked as my top player in the second round, 33rd overall on my board. And so he was it's partially because of the size, but it's more because I've seen him over the last 2 years and I've seen the progression and the trajectory that he seems to be on. And the fact that, you know, he didn't have many points. If you're just looking at the stat line, he didn't have a ton of points this year, but he had a big uptick in production from his rookie season in the USHL. It's really hard for a young guy, a 16-year-old, even a big guy like Kleber, to play in the USHL at 16. He did that very well and then was even better this year. And so he's got the size, you know, over 6'5", kind of trending towards 6'6", has strength. He can be physical. He's a really good skater for his size as well, which is what stood out to me immediately the first few times that I saw him. And now he's starting to bring a little bit more of that puck moving element. He's not going to be an offensive defenseman, but he is a very talented right shot defensive defenseman. So I think that he has a lot of value. I think he's got a lot of a development timeline ahead of him. He's going to the University of Minnesota Duluth, which has been a really good finishing school for defensemen that play like him. So I think that he's only going to get better. He's probably, you know, a two to 3 years away in terms of when he would sign a pro contract. But I just think that he, at that range of the draft, you know, to get a big right shot defenseman like him, and it does fit a need, but I also thought it was a very reasonable pick in that range for him.
Anything that you like or that stands out from their picks round 3 through 7?
Well, you know, I definitely really like Brody Ziemer, captain at the under-18 team last year for Team USA. I think he just is a very honest player, plays the right way. And on top of that, I think he's a little bit more skilled than maybe he's been given credit for. You know, had a very productive season and, you know, just a high-character guy. He's going to the University of Minnesota, where I expect him to play a fairly big role, maybe not next year, but the following year and the year after that, where he's going to be an impact guy. I think Luke Osborne is a really interesting player. He had his first season in the USHL last year after playing, AAA hockey before that. So, you know, I think that he's just kind of scratching the surface and was at Youngstown and I believe will be back at Youngstown next season. And they've been one of the top teams in the USHL for the last few years. And then Patrick Geary, who they selected, mm-hmm. 172nd, you know, is a re-entry player. Played at Michigan State last year, so you know they have some familiarity with him because of Maxime Sturback. Very defensive-minded guy, very smart player. Had a chance to make Team USA as an undrafted player last year at the World Juniors. Ended up being one of the final cuts from that team in their camp. So he was one of those guys that I viewed as like a really good sleeper as a reentry because he doesn't have We have a better book on him now, and he had a great season at Michigan State where they were a much more competitive team. So I think overall, you know, I was probably a little bit surprised that the Sabres drafted so many defensemen again. But at the same time, you know, I think that with the number of picks that they had and where they were picking, it was just, you know, go off the list, and that's the way the list went for them.
Josh, clip that on Patrick Geary, because Chris, not only is he from Buffalo, but he's also cousins with one of our hosts here at WGR, Nate Geary. And I was going to ask you about him, and look at that. He was not nice, like glowing report here about Patrick Geary without even knowing that we had a connection here. So, love it. Love it.
Awesome. Glad to do it.
Patrick Geary, who will be going back to Michigan State this year, and you said re-entry, so he wouldn't be eligible for World Juniors this year?
Correct. Yeah, okay. He's aged out. Yep.
Gotcha. Their prospect pool overall, Chris, before we let you go, we asked you briefly last week about like whether they'd be included in trades or not. I kind of say this offhand a lot. I see them ranked often near the top. I'll often just say in passing, like, they have the best prospect pool in the league, or one of the best prospect pools in the league. Do you share that opinion? Like, is it right to just kind of still call them one of the top pools in the NHL?
Yeah, I mean, I think it lacks the top end that, you know, you'll see with Anaheim and San Jose now with Celebrini. And, you know, obviously after a draft, it changes pretty dramatically. But I think, you know, if you also include the younger players on the roster and you say, well, there's clearly, you know, a lot of quality there, and a lot of, you know, players that they've built up over the last few years. I mean, when we look at usually when I look at prospects pools, I don't really consider the guys that have graduated, which is to say guys that are no longer called or eligible. Okay. But I think if you look at the totality of it with the young players on their NHL roster, you know, there's clearly a push forward here for Buffalo. And then you look at, you know, Benson, who made it last year very unexpectedly to make it so quickly and played so well. But then, you know, you look at the season that Matt Savoy had. You look at Jiří Kulik continuing to score goals. I mean, there's so many different guys in this group. And then now they have really probably one of the deepest young defense groups anywhere in the NHL. That's really enticing as well. So adding Hellenius to the mix of that group does improve things. And I think that certainly the Sabres have built up a lot over these last couple of years. It's now, you know, just putting it all together at the right time, hoping the guys are in the right places, and then also adding some veteran talent to support these younger.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Players, and then you know you're hoping that you're on the right track. But yeah, I mean, I think that this is a team that has obviously had a lot of high draft picks, and they've used them pretty well. So. Mm-hmm. We'll see where things go, but things are trending up for Buffalo for sure.
Yeah, quickly, but last one before we let you go. Benson is the one where, right, like some might include him, some might not, in whatever, you know, you're doing with the Sabres prospect pool. He's one where, like, I appreciated a lot of his game last year. Like, he just seems like he's a step ahead mentally, but skating wasn't as fast as maybe I thought we might have seen, and he didn't put up the points. But man, they counted on him. Like he penalty killed for them down the stretch as an 18-year-old. Like not just like once in a while too. Like he was on one of their regular units. He got some minutes in the top six at the end too. But you know, you look at it and go 11 goals, 30 points. There were stretches of games where you just didn't notice him. But 18 years old. Like I just guess, Chris, I just don't know what to do with him in terms of his offensive upside. Like should I still think he can be like the best player, best forward on a team, or after seeing year one, should I have a better grasp of kind of what that's going to look like?
Yeah, you know, I'm not sure that he'll like ever be the number one guy. I think, you know, the size and the skating are going to make it really difficult for him, but he's such a competitive player and he is so smart. And I mean, I think that those two things in tandem are going to make him an impactful player. And I don't think what we saw last year is what, you know, what he's going to be. I think he is going to be a top six forward. I think he's going to score. He is a very good playmaker. He has a good shot. There are going to be good things that come along as he gets more and more experience. My hope is that, you know, there's no issues with confidence or anything like that. But I think the Sabres have something very valuable with Zach Benson, you know, kind of like that Jonathan Marchessault type player that could, you know, as he gets older and more experienced, I think that's, you know, the guy to kind of try to model after a little bit. And maybe, you know, if he gets there, that's going to be a very valuable player for any team. And I think they'll be really happy with where that goes. But I think there's a lot more to come with Zach Benson.
Yeah, and confidence grew as it went out. He had 7 points in his last 7 games of the season. So he got a little bit of a hot streak at the end there. Chris Peters, you can follow his stuff, Flow Hockey, at Chris M. Peters. He did grades for all of the teams in the NHL draft. So if you want to find out what the Sabres grade was, go check it out there. Always appreciate your time, Chris, for coming on last week and this week. And enjoy, I guess this is kind of the offseason now for you too.
Yeah. World Junior Camp in 3 weeks. Can't wait.
Gotcha. All right. Thanks, Chris.
Thanks.
All right. Sabres. I'm glad that I got him on the prospect pool there, and he mentioned the top end, because I do often say that in passing, they have the best prospect pool, because I have seen them ranked number one, but, right, they don't. If Benson's not like a 90-plus 100-point player someday, you know, we'll see. Maybe Savoy. Maybe someone could become that level of good. But they don't have a Celebrini, is definitely right. 803-0550 is the phone number. Some signings to catch you up on. Josh had him in the update before we talked to Chris. Jake Guentzel is going to the Lightning, or is signing with the Lightning. They already traded for his rights. 7 years, $9 million per year. So Guentzel off the market, but that is all set and done now that Stamkos is going somewhere else. Stamkos is going to, we'll see. I mentioned that Greg Wyshynski piece where the Sabres are mentioned, 16 potential fits for Stamkos. They're under the wild card tier. If you look at the top, he's got as the number one connection, the number one team, Detroit. Connection between Stamkos and Steve Yzerman, right? Yzerman would have been running the Lightning for most of his career there. I think, would he have even drafted Stamkos? That I don't know. But they would have been together for a long time. They brought Kane back. You know, that one would sting because they're another team. Like, when's the last time they made the playoffs? 6 years? I think it's 6 years for them, 6 or 7. They're right around the same as Ottawa. They are in the Sabres division. Here's the Senators. Here's the Red Wings. Here's the Sabres. They're all kind of in the same spot. They've all fallen short of expectations. They all feel like they probably should have made it by now. But Ottawa gets these guys once in a while, Chychrun, Giroux, where it's like, all right, we're going for it. And that hasn't worked, which needs to be said here, that it hasn't worked for Ottawa at all. And Detroit, it almost worked. They just collapsed at the end of last year. But they're out here signing Kane, right? They're out there being the team that gets Alex DeBrincat to sign a long-term contract. There's one other one. Perron, David Perron last year, they got to come there as a veteran piece. JT Compher signed there. Like, they've made their swings. Same thing. Hasn't really worked, but they've made their swings. And it just feels like the Sabres can get ahead. Those teams have already made their swings. They've already traded picks. They've already traded prospects. They've already invested capital into free agents. So they don't have as much available. They've already done all that. And they're in the same spot you are. So, okay, now go make the same swings they have because you're in the same spot, and now you'll jump ahead. Very generalized, that's how it would feel. But here we sit, and maybe it's just not that easy. It might just not be that easy. I don't know if it's the GM. I don't know if it's the team. I don't know if it's the city. What it is, if it's that they didn't let Eichel get a surgery. Or it's probably all of it, if we're being fair. It's probably all of it. But Detroit, we'll see. If they sign Stamkos today, that's not going to feel great. I know the connection with Yzerman. That's going to be a team that's been on the same level as you, that you're trying to jump over. And if they go get the number one free agent that we're dreaming about, like, oh, it'd be amazing if the Sabres could land Stamkos. And if a team you're competing with directly for one of those playoff spots that are probably going to become available goes and lands Stamkos, I just don't know. It's not going to feel great. So I'm definitely rooting against that happening. If he's going to leave, go to get out of the division. Go to Nashville. He's still very good. 40 goals last year. Like, he might not be what he was 5 years ago, 10 years ago, but Stamkos is still a big impact player. 803-0550 is the phone number. What else did we have in the last couple of minutes? Anything? We had Tyler Bertuzzi earlier. Oh, the numbers on Reinhart came in. So Sam Reinhart stays in Florida 8 years, $8.6 million. You get the win, you get the tax code, you get to live in Miami. Just, you know, that seemed like that was going to happen. Although I will say this, Florida signing Reinhart would make it a lot more likely that they're going to trade Sam Bennett away. 8.6 was lower than everyone thought, but Sam Bennett trade definitely feels like it's on the table for somebody. That could be here.
Coming from a bunch of different people, but Mike Grinnelli of the Spit and Chicklets podcast says that Jonathan Marchessault will likely be a New Jersey Devil.
Will likely be a New Jersey Devil?
Yes. Nothing confirmed, but it's a lot more people are tweeting about it. Nobody like, you know, yeah, Saravalli or Friedman or anybody like that yet, but it sounds like Marchessault is going to go to the Devils.
I'm hoping that is not going to happen because I like that player a lot. I was wondering about him for the Sabres, top six. He might be at 34, a guy you can overpay and get to come here. And kind of along the lines of the Detroit point. My guess is Washington's going to fall out of the playoffs and the Islanders are going to fall out. Those teams stunk last year. There were two bad teams that made the Eastern playoffs last year.
I don't know, because Washington got Logan Thompson from Vegas.
Yeah.
And he's a legit goaltender.
They're so old, though, in front of him.
True.
They're going to get worse and worse, and they were already bad. So I think Washington and the Islanders are going to fall out. They were bad last year. Who's going to jump in? Detroit gets Kane back. Maybe they go with Stamkos. We'll see. And the other team, New Jersey, I would predict they're going to get one of those. Like, they're ahead right now of Detroit's and Buffalo's and Ottawa's. They already went and got their goalie, Jacob Markstrom. If they go get Jonathan Marchessault on top of that, they were only bad last year because of injury. Like, Lindy would still have that job, and they would have been in the playoffs if they didn't get injured. If they go add Marchessault on top of trading for Markstrom, that's a playoff team next year without devastating injuries. 803-0550 is the phone number. All right, we'll keep you updated. Any free agent signings that come in, we'll see if we get any Sabres rumors. Eric Robinson was another one, by the way, former Sabre that's going to Carolina on a one-year deal. So he will not be returning to Buffalo. But we'll see what we get. I got the stats, by the way. We were talking earlier, like, is Christian Ehrhoff the all-time free agent the Sabres have signed? Is it possible he's the best player they've ever signed in free agency? I got some numbers on that. The all-time leading scorer for the Sabres that was acquired via free agency. I do have that list. I don't know if this is a good guessing game. It might be tough. We'll go through that a little bit. We'll go through some rumors and kick around some different free agent ideas that are not Adam Henrique, because we've already done a lot on him today. It's Jeremy and Joe. It's Jody Biasi. Wimbledon as well. Soccer, a lot of stuff this week. Stay tuned. This is WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.